So believe it or not, Tuesday for my son, he'll go into third grade. I struggle with that because he's still like, I can still pick up one arm, but like I still have vivid memories of just holding my little guy in my arms. And so going into third grade is like kind of scary because he's like right there. He's closer to middle school than he is far, you know, closer to kindergarten, which makes me like scary. But I'm excited for him. I'm excited for your guys' students as they go into their school year. Everyone pretty much starting school besides Highland this coming week, I think. But as we wrap up this summer and the summer series, and we talked a little bit about just giving you some just habits to start forming your calling last week. And we've been kind of discussing a little bit of this in our student ministry time as well. And we talked about how Peter gave us a handful of just, hey, these are the habits I really want you to focus on. And they were goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and love. And we talked about these things lead us towards our calling. Today, we're going to start wrapping up, the last bit of Peter's instructions. And I love the fact that Peter sits there and kind of, he knows probably his time's ending because this is his last two letters, and he's got like important things for us to know. But before we get to his knowledge, who here loves movies? Okay. Who here quotes movies like on a daily basis? Okay. Who here's spouse can't stand that they quote movies on a daily basis? So one thing I found out about movie quoting is most of the time we get it completely wrong. But here are a couple famous ones. So Forrest Gump, the misquoted thing is Mama always says, life is like a box of chocolates, right? That's misquoted. What it really is Mama always said, life was like a box of chocolates. A little different. Wizard of Oz, misquote, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. Their actual quote, Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. And of course, you know, this one's definitely relevant from last week, the Field of Dreams game. Anyone watch that? It was really cool, you know, picture of the cornfields. The misquote, if you build it, they will come. The actual quote, if you build it, he will come. And of course, my favorite, because I'm a nerd, Empire Strikes Back, the misquote, Luke, I am your father. He never says that. He says, no, Luke, I am your father. I know, I'm a nerd. It's okay. I find that entertaining. Some of you do too, which is fine. But I bring up misquotes for a reason. So Peter spends the next chapter of his second book discussing something called false prophets. Now, or false teachers. And when we hear that, there's all kinds of thoughts that can go through our heads. And this morning, we're going to spend our time kind of discussing what a possible false teacher could be, and what does that mean for your life in 2021, and how for you to kind of see what that means for your life, and how you can, you know, best go through your world and not be misled. But I think it especially when it comes to the good causes that are out there, I think there's plenty of good causes that we all absolutely love and we all pour our time, our resources into. You know, every once in a while, there's a situation where you pour time and resources into a cause and you find out it just kind of wasn't what you thought it was. It could be maybe a GoFundMe account, maybe it's something on the news, it could even be something when it comes to church. And when that happens, we get so just discouraged, right? Because, you know, you always want to think, and I'm an optimist, like I truly feel like there's good in everyone in the world. And when that's proven to be false, it really hurts and it kind of derails us in some ways. And so I think what Peter does here, you know, like I said, this is his last couple chapters for us. I mean, he's trying to give us some really good insights. He's trying to kind of set us up for the future. And I think the reason why he discusses the idea of false teaching is because he wants us to be aware. Because you've got to understand, at the time of Peter's writing, you know, the Christian church was still somewhat a young church. And there were still people trying to take advantage of that youth. They're trying to take advantage of that message. And sometimes it was a financial gain. Sometimes it was a power gain. But in general, there were people trying to take advantage of the early Christian church. And Peter was really trying to say, hey, listen, understand there are people out there trying to do this. This is what to look out for. And so what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to read a part of 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to go through a big chunk of it, and we're going to kind of break down what that means for us. So the first part is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says this. But there are also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will introduce destructive heresy. They will deny the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. So Peter kind of starts off saying, listen, there's going to be people among you who's going to try to mislead you. We know that as in 2021. We turn on social media, we turn on our life, there's always seems to be someone trying to mislead you towards something. And then he kind of gives us some examples of these godly men in the midst of chaos. He talks about the Old Testament, talks about Noah being the only righteous one among the people, talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, and he says, listen, even in the midst of all that mess, there were still godly people, yet still there are people in this world trying to destroy the good name of God and trying to destroy the goodness that God brings us. And he goes into this section, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. They will be paid back with harm from the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to converse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, revealing in their pleasure while they feast with you. With their eyes full of adultery, they will never stop sinning. They will seduce the unstable. They are the experts in greed. The accursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves to depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of the righteous than to have known it and then turned their backs on the sacred command that had passed on to them. Peter says a lot here, and we're going to kind of break it down. I encourage you, maybe spend some time. First homework assignment is Alex, obviously. gotta get the lead minister's work first. And after that, if you have some time, read 2 Peter. There's all kinds of great stuff in there. But I have a couple observations of what he has to say. The first observation is that, you know what, we live in a world where people truly are, there's some people in the world just want to take advantage of the situation. We know that, and that happens in churches too. You can see it throughout any kind of news. There's always some kind of, hey, this, you know, someone did this, that, or the other. And what we want, like our gut reaction to that is usually, you know, a lot of anger, a lot of pain. And you have people who use their platforms to destroy and discredit the people who are misleading. And so there's a group of people out there that does that already. To me, I think the biggest thing for us as followers of Jesus, when we see something, whether it's a church-related, whether it's political, whether it's just someone in your neighborhood, is to do the thing that God really wants us to do. Be his true voice. And to do that is to show love, be the voice of God that shows peace. What I've learned in my young life is that when I approach something with anger, I never say the right thing. Like when I approach something with like raw emotion, I always like mess up what I want my point to be. And so what happens so often is when we hear things in this world where you can see someone taking advantage of a situation, we approach it with that anger, that, oh, this is wrong. And, you know, it kind of makes the true message, the true heart of what you're saying, it just kind of like blots it out. So instead, I encourage you, you know, when you see a situation like that, approach the way Jesus would. Now, Jesus would have been angry, absolutely. Jesus would see situations throughout Scripture. I mean, he flipped tables in the midst of a courtyard in the temple. So he had anger. He had emotion towards that. But most of his experiences, if I'm going to reach somebody, if I'm going to bring them God's peace, I have to approach them the right way. So I encourage you to, if you see these things in life, that don't just go like Super Saiyan anger at them. Take a step back. You be calculated with your words. I know one of my biggest fears as what I do for a living is something that I say or do will derail someone's faith. Like, that's like a living nightmare of mine. Like, especially when I work with students and teenagers, and man, teenagers are they're in that age group already where they're trying to figure out who they are, and one of my biggest heartaches is anytime I say something and I will see a teenager go, ugh, I'm like, oh, I don't want to be that thing. I want to be the thing that brings peace and God's love. And that's what, our job when we face these false teachings or face someone trying to manipulate us. The second observation that I have is that God kind of has this. Like, God sees the situation, he knows what's going on, and he's the one who's going to take care of the situation. We'll go back to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and it says this: if this was so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from the trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true for those who follow corrupt desires of flesh and despise authority. What Peter's telling us is, listen, yes, what's happening, what that manipulating thing, that thing that drives you upset, God sees it. God's going to take care of it. Our job isn't to be the one who brings the vengeance. God has that taken care of. And so we have to be very mindful of that. When we see something or we experience something that could be, feel like we've been manipulated by a situation, God has that taken care of. And what I think Peter's really trying to tell us and really trying to direct us is, like, listen, your job as a Christian, your job as a follower of Jesus, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, go live as close as possible to him. God's going to take care of all the rest. It's like a coach. I played football for 10 years, and I had coaches always tell me, my good coaches tell me. He said, listen, you take care of you. You take care of your house. You take care of your situation. Everything else around it will take care of itself. You work on you. And we talked about a couple weeks ago that we have control over absolutely one person in this whole world, that is ourselves. We have zero control over our neighbor. We have zero control over the politician. We have zero control over someone's opinion. We have control of us. And so to me, the best thing we can do is, God's going to handle the mess. We're going to be Jesus' hands and feet. We're going to speak the love and the healing words that he's asked us to. We're going to treat others in the way that God has really wanted us to do. And I encourage you to do that in your life. As frustrating and upsetting as some things around us that happen, always keep in mind that our job, the thing that God wants us to do the most, is to speak his words with love and do the things that he would want us to do. My third observation of this piece of scripture is that we have to be very careful who we allow to influence us. Now, we love that you're here. We as a church absolutely love what we do as in our ministries. We love that for those who believe that Polaris is their home church, that you call this place home. And we absolutely love that. We want you to understand that this journey is a journey together. That we want you to know that what you do and who you are here as a follower of Jesus needs to echo throughout our lives. Even when some people in the world mess up. I'm going to be honest, I don't bat 1,000 in life. I wish I did. I wish I could tell you that I have everything, you know, taken care of. Like, no, I have my days, good days, bad days. I have, you know, times where I, you know, think I'm doing great with my walk. I have times where, like, I'm studying His Word. I'm doing the things I know I can do. And then there's days I wake up and my son gets up a half hour early, and my day doesn't start the way it does, or he wakes up and he's in a mood, or whatever it may be. Our job here as a church is to help you grow and prepare you for what's out there in your own walk. And I hope you come here to Polaris. And I hope that's the heart of what you do. But I understand that there are people in this world who truly want to take, you know, advantage and maybe even mislead you. Just have to be mindful of who they are. So I'm going to give you like three small just like details of what to kind of look out for when it comes to, you know, maybe false teaching in the world and you know, stuff that Peter has to say. Then we're going to talk about the why this is important for you in 2021, and we'll wrap it up our series. So the first thing that we have to be mindful of is when anytime someone has an exaggerated emphasis on money. So if you have someone in your life that like money is all they're about, and their message is all about feeding the beast, maybe take a step back and kind of see what that means. Like I said, we have GoFundMe accounts everywhere. I don't think I can go a week without seeing someone's GoFundMe account or someone's, hey, you know, someone you know has this need. And I love that. But if we have to be mindful, there are so many times that we've, you know, given to a cause and it's not come out the way we wanted to. We have to be very cautious. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't give to a cause. I think causes are great. That's what we're about here at Polaris. But we have to be very, very mindful of those things. One of the things that I love about Alex and how he handles any kind of conversation about money is he handles it with kid gloves. Like I see his stress when it comes to talking about finances, and to me that's a beautiful thing, because anytime I've seen other, you know, leaders in other situations where it's, but you know, all about the focus of money, seeing Alex have to prepare, hey, I know this week we have to talk about money, he doesn't like it. He's not a fan of it, but he knows it has to be done as part of our job here is your guys' giving. And so to me, when you see someone, a leader that's like always about, you know, the next money, the next thing, you kind of be mindful of that. And that's not just a church thing. I mean, that's at a work, that's in your neighborhood. Just be mindful of where that money's going too. So just, you know, I encourage you to do your research on everything possible. The other thing to kind of look at when it comes to a false teacher or someone's trying to mislead you is the refusal to submit to authority. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 says this about them. This is especially true for those who follow corrupt desires of sinful nature and despise authority. Okay? When you have a leader in your life who's constantly saying, do what I say, but not as I do, that's a problem. That's something that you should be really mindful of. And to me, like that's like the worst possible way to be a leader, is to say, hey, you know, just follow my words. Don't look over behind the curtain there where my actions are. That's the absolute worst way to lead somebody. And in our own personal lives, the same way. You know, we have, those of us who have kids, we know that we're always constantly trying to direct them towards the right and the wrong and stuff. And sometimes we say things and that match up to our actions. And I have an 8-year-old who will call me out when I don't do the thing that I told him to do. He is a very good throw dad under the bus guy. And I don't know, you know, sometimes like, really? Like my favorite is, you know, he doesn't like the word stupid. It's a bad word for sure. I happen to say that and we're driving home. He goes, I got to tell mom. I go, tell mom what? He goes, that you said that word. I go, what are you talking about? It's like, yeah, the moment I get home, she's got to know that you are saying bad words, dad. I'm like, and I go, so you're going to just toss your dad, just, you know, all 18 wheels. And he's like, so I'm trying to, I love his honesty. I do. But at the same time, like, as silly as that is, it makes you take a step back and go, okay, what am I, the things that I'm doing, the way I, one of the things I'm saying is it's really making an impact on my son. You know, same with you and your own leadership stuff at your, you know, work or in your neighborhood. You know, if you're trying to reach someone for Jesus, and I know it's not fair, It really isn't fair. But when someone's like, well, is that how a Christian is supposed to act? And you're like, and we are just, we represent something bigger when we do this whole, you know, God journey. I encourage you, sometimes it's, you know, for us, we have to be mindful of that. And for us who we allow to lead and influence our lives, we have so many people trying to influence us. We have to be mindful of those who are trying to influence us for their gain and not the right stuff. The last thing that I really want to emphasize when it comes to this is they really don't walk the talk. 2 Peter, once again, you know, 2:10. You know, this is especially true for those who are corrupt, desire a sinful nature, and, you know, despise authority. Then he talks about in 2 Peter 2:14, with eyes full of adultery, and they never stop sinning. And to me, like I said, I don't bat 1,000. I really wish I could tell you that I, you know, I'm perfect in the ways of faith, but I, you know, I struggle through things sometimes like anyone else. But when it's when I see the situation, when I am at the wrong, I do my best to find forgiveness. When you have people in your life that aren't trying to find forgiveness, when they're not seeking healing, you gotta take a step back. And even in our own walk, our own leadership lives, our own families, you know, sometimes we have to wrestle with those moments. Man, am I truly seeking forgiveness with my spouse when I say that thing that I'm kicking myself for? Am I truly, you know, seeking forgiveness with that neighbor that I mowed the grass and I shouldn't have? I mean, those are the things that we have to wrestle with personally and the people who we allow to lead in our life. The question is so what? Why on earth is this important in 2021? Why spend 20 minutes or so discussing false teaching? And the first part, I think Peter, like I said, this is Peter's last two letters. This part talks about false teaching, and the next chapter, he goes into the end of days. Now, you know, because Alex is talking about Revelation, we're not going to really hit on that, but I just feel like it's Peter trying to do his best. It's like, hey, this is my last time to talk to you. I want to give you as much possible tools as I could possibly can. So, you know, just be mindful of those things. And I think the reason why we have to be mindful today is because communication is everywhere. We live in the era where you can communicate more than anywhere else in the history of the world. I mean, you can, on your plastic piece of phone, we can talk to someone light years away. We can have an influence. There's actually people whose jobs are called influencers. Like, that's all they do is influence your opinion, influence your direction, influence your heart, influence your faith, influence your community. We do the same thing in so many ways as well in our own lives. The people that look to us on our social media accounts, the people who we have interactions with, we influence them. And then there's people who influence you personally, pastors, you know, spouses, you know, bosses, coworkers. We just have to be mindful of the things around us. And I think the best way, the couple tools for you to kind of figure out what this means for you and how to kind of see when someone's maybe misleading you. The first one, we talked about this last week, read scripture. If you aren't starting your day or having a part of your day where you're not, if you don't set time aside to read God's word, you're not going to know what's in it. You're not going to know what's counter to what he has to say. And I talked about, you know, getting a devotional, spend time in that devotional, spend time in his word. Know what Jesus' words are. And make sure that when you hear something counter to what that could be, to step up to it. The next thing is, be mindful who you're allowing to influence you. You know, we're heading back into the fall, and what the fall brings is usually election talks, and usually this time of year it's local, and next year it'll be the midterms. And we are so easily influenced by the person who gets on the stage and makes the impassionate speech that, you know, gets you fired up over that one issue. We have people who follow that the good speaker, the people who will almost blindly go that direction and not realize they're being taken advantage of. I mean, anything that isn't the voice of Jesus is counter to who he is. Anyone who's stepping up in your life saying, follow me and me alone, is someone not to be trusted. And that includes politicians, includes you know bosses, includes all kinds of things, but we have to be mindful of who we are allowing ourselves to be influenced by. And that includes our children. Social media is in some ways one of the worst things that was ever created. I can't stand social media. I think there's a lot of bad that comes from it. There's good from it. We you can reach out and see neighbors and friends and colleagues that you haven't seen in a long time. But man, your teenagers, your young kids, they're being influenced by people on social media that you don't know or have no clue what they stand for. I encourage you to be mindful of that. Don't allow your children to be influenced by something that's not the voice of Jesus. Lastly, the only way to truly kind of fight back any of this is to make God a priority number one in your household. And it starts by being here, finding a community of believers, being able to find people to trust and to ask questions, making sure your children have Jesus as a priority at a young age. We love kids here. Like, kids are what, we have generosity in kids like 1A and 1B at Polaris Christian Church. We truly want, your kids to know Jesus. The problem is we, especially Northeast Ohio, youth sports, bands, the activities, school, I mean, all those things are good, but they're pulling your children away from the voice of Jesus. The priority list of where he falls so often gets dropped down. And then all these other influencers are speaking maybe not true truths into the lives of your children. Make Jesus, make being a part of a community of believers a big part of who you are and what your family is all about. I want to speak to the men just for a second. Where are you as a leadership head, spiritual head of your family? Are you making sure that your sons, your wives, your daughters have Jesus at the heart of everything they do? We need to set the tone. We need a generation of men to say, you know what? I'm not going to be influenced by anything else but God. Women, you guys do a much better job of that at us already. We continue to do that. And as we're going to wrap up, the band's going to come up and play one last song. 2 Peter verse 2:1. He reminds us that there will be false teachers in your life. There'll be false influencers in your world. But when Jesus is the filter and the focus of everything that we do, we can see those things coming. We can miss some of those pitfalls, and then we can make our lives truly focused on who he wants us to be. And then we can influence others. We become the influencers for Jesus. And that's my hope for you, is that you leave here wanting to influence the people in your community for the cross, because that's the only thing that's never going to disappoint you. That's the only thing that's never going to let you down. That's not going to lie to you, and it's not going to break you. Everything else in the world will. That is where you will find your hope. Let's pray. God, I ask you to be with us as we see the things in our lives that influence us. God, let us forgive me for the times I have not allowed you to be my center and my true north. Forgive me for the times where I have failed my family, for not being the head of the house to tell them, hey, God is the priority. And God, allow us to stop allowing these influencers that are trying to manipulate us to the one thing or another, whether it's our money or our attention, and let you be the true influence in our life. Let you be the thing that we filter everything through, what we do, what we say, what we post, what we watch, what we allow our family to be a part of. Let you be the thing, because you're the only thing that won't let us down. You're the only thing that won't break our hearts. You're the only thing that gives us true hope. God, thank you for this day. We pray this in your name. Amen.